Trinity Fremont, we know that faith starts in the home. We also know that it can be difficult to take what we hear on Sunday and live it out in our homes the rest of the week. That's because information alone doesn't lead to growth and change. But information that's reflected on and put into practice is much more likely to lead to growth and change. Join us as we reflect on this past Sunday sermon and give practical starting points to help you live it out, your faith, in your family, and in your community.
Woo!
Oh, no!
I didn't know what we're supposed to do. I just saw Paul's finger go up, so I was like, I don't know what that means. I was drumming.
Can we have a do-over? I feel like that one was really terrible.
Let's all do woos. Ready? And
woo!
All right. So for those of you joining us on the video and going, what is happening with those people? With the audio recording, we start recording the audio at the very beginning. We start recording the audio when the intro is playing. And so we woo when that break of the music.
Yep.
And it's still on the audio recording, but you can't hear it on the video because when we got the video, you don't hear our mics. And we were totally not paying. I was watching the video and I was drumming and I was watching y'all dance around. And we missed the woo, and it was very,
we missed the woo.
So then we were adding our woos to make up for that. So
not our woos.
Speaking of woos,
I'm gonna move you over here because I can see your name.
Oh, there you go. Oh, look at, and Casey's name fits perfectly.
Oh, yay. Casey.
Speaking of woos, how's it going this week?
Oh, I was gonna say, I don't think John Woo's coming up with a new movie.
Oh, right? No. That might be a loaded question.
John Woo?
I don't know who John Woo is.
Yeah, Casey.
I guarantee you know.
Yo.
Okay, I'm probably do, but.
Do you know who John Woo is off the top of your head?
I do.
Congratulations.
Also, it's the name of, it's also the title of an old Newsboys song, if you follow from the early 2000s.
John Woo?
Really?
Yeah. Really?
It is a weird song. Like before they switched lead singers, the Newsboys had some funky songs, like, not like, if you remember, like the breakfast song.
Yeah, they don't serve breakfast in hell, so if like, you want breakfast, follow Jesus.
How come you're exactly starting the food talk already? Come on, man. We've been on like what, 20 seconds?
I want to keep us consistent.
There you
all
go.
Right, good job, Casey.
All right, so Casey, how are you doing in your home still?
So, I feel like I can talk about this. So, the reason I'm on location is because I have this fun thing called kidney stones.
Kidney stones.
Yes, for all your friends fans out there, Lacey and I have been enjoying that joke. I don't recommend it.
Keep that in mind.
Don't get a kidney stone. Okay.
I will say the biggest thing I learned in this, you know, some of it can be genetic and all that, but the biggest thing is drink your water, people. I thought I was actually hydrated. Apparently, if you drink just when you're thirsty, you are definitely not doing what you're supposed to do.
Hey, Stacy, are you a hydrated person? Yeah.
So yep. the reason I'm over here is just in case, because the I've actually been fine for the last 4 or 5 days, but the waves of pain, if they hit, are incredibly intense, and that way I can just tune out and you guys can keep talking if that happens.
There you go.
Plus, on location, we get to prove that we can be actual reporters here, right?
There you go.
It's true.
You're on location.
Yeah.
On location with Casey Roberts.
We got a good morning from Stephanie Clausen.
Hi, Stephanie. That was fun. Stacy, do you like to stay hydrated?
I do. I drink a lot of water.
In the morning.
In the morning. Stacy's, my nickname for Stacy is the camel.
Yep.
She is always drinking water.
Oh.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I call my sister the camel when she was little because my mom would always allow us to split a soda, and nobody wanted to split with my sister because she would go.
That's been.
And then it was gone.
Yep.
So
that's great.
We would cry and scream.
There's a great sound in that.
I know.
Paul loves sounds.
That's whipped cream. I don't know why I do that.
Well,
the same thing where I go
for them
ponytail holder
and your sounds.
My hands and my sounds.
Yeah, just in the headphones. It's just
completely
quite,
weird.
It's quite loud.
Yeah. Cannot make armpit farts though, but my children can.
Oh, there you go.
So
The things we learn about Lacey.
Yep.
I could get Alexa to do the farting noise again.
No, we're good.
I shut her off. She's off.
There you go. Lacey, how's it going for you this week?
It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just going to say it's okay. But it'll all be fine. It just started out as a...
We got some big things this week at school.
But it'll be okay.
Yeah.
It'll be a cakewalk once we get there. I just got to get over the...
Once we're through it, then it'll be like it'll...
Never happened.
Yeah.
Just like the coof. Once we're through it.
We'll be through it. Yeah.
What's going on with you?
Me? I feel like I'm juggling about 32 balls at times, and then I'll toss one to somebody, and then I feel like they chuck it back in my face and say, here, catch it. That's how. But that's why I like this sermon series. So I said it if you heard on Ash Wednesday, like, I kind of dumped a little bit, but part of it was like how I needed to hear what I was preaching. I can tell you the exact same thing will be true this weekend coming up. I need to hear, I am preaching to myself, and I hope y'all come along for the ride, because it's exactly what I need to hear as we go to the Garden of Gethsemane in the middle of the perfect storm. And there's a big word that's not really a big word, but it can be a big word. It's the word and.
I was going to say it's not righteousness, is it? One of my big words.
No, it's the word and. Oh, yep, there's me.
Juggling all the balls.
That's kind of the face. That is the face that I'm making.
That's an actual picture of Gerber.
Yep, there it is.
With hair.
And a tie on.
And a blazer. No,
see, that's the thing though. With the tie, that's probably not happening. Yeah. Unless Easter, I wear a tie on Easter. Sometimes Christmas, but I prefer sweater on Christmas. It's just this sermon series as we walk the places of the Passion with Jesus. It's for me. And if y'all want to come along on the ride, I'd come along. But it is really, I'm preaching myself because I've needed it, especially now, and just that. Remember that reminder that Jesus has it under control. And I know when I can hand those balls that I'm juggling to Jesus, he takes them. And he's a better juggler than I am, I think.
Well,
I don't know if I'd call him a juggler. He's just like, I got it.
Balancer.
He just takes it.
All the things.
He just takes it. And he's like, yeah, you don't need this. No. Stop worrying about this. I got this. Huh. It's good to say. It's easy to say. It's not always easy.
Sometimes it's hard to allow yourself to be okay with it.
At one this morning, my brain was just going. Ugh. And I had to get up and go to the couch and read and shut my brain down a little bit. But it just finally, like, I just had to sit in prayer and like, Jesus,
take the wheel.
Take it. Yes. Jesus, take the wheel. Take it. Go. You're good. You be in control. And that's, I like control. Just FYI. I really enjoy controlling things, and there are a lot of things that I just don't need to, but I want to. So there you go.
I'm on that control bus.
Juggling.
Yeah. All right. So, therapy session number two.
There you go. Stacey, how are you going? How are you doing, Stace?
Actually doing pretty well.
Compared to the rest of us.
As Anthony's talking, I'm just thinking this has kind of been our marriage. I feel like one of us is like, I'm doing well and I can support what's going on, while the other one is kind of struggling. And for the most part, we're not both in that struggle together.
Yeah.
Like, which I think is helpful.
Definitely.
Because when we have a life that still happens when we're floundering a little bit, the other has been able to support, which I'm thankful for that. There have been times where we're both in the same good place or bad place, but it's more regularly that one of us is, I don't know. Yeah. I've just been the last few weeks just feeling really encouraged by, I guess this last Sunday, I was really encouraged by Sunday school. We had six tables set up, and six tables had families and kids at them. And we had kids that hadn't been there in a year, and just like feeling positive energy from an excitement for, you know what? We wanted to get back. We just felt like we need to be back here in this place in the church, not just listening from home, but we want to be with people again
in community.
And we want to hear God's word in God's house, and like just hearing how God's spirit is moving within people after this year of crazy, and we had to pull back some, but now it's like, no, I'm restless without this. I need this in my life. So just encouraged by things that I'm hearing people saying. And also I feel like my own time in God's word has been more beneficial for me lately too. I've actually been focused on that and actually making it a priority. So
do you think,
it's just amazing what happens when...
Do you think the place that you're at these last 3 weeks has been like, has call your mom and kind of that
has helped,
passion yes. and excitement for that helped in mm-hmm. that?
Yeah, definitely. Just okay. to have a purpose and a something to work towards, but also to know that this is not something I ever would have done on my own, to know God's power is in that makes a difference.
Yeah.
And when I see it, oh, he's calling me to this. He's clearly working in my life and moving me places. Mm-hmm. And I think that's opened my eyes to that in other areas too, in a way that I was kind of shutting down before.
Yeah. Paul, how's it going?
It's tax.
Your turn.
How's tax season going?
It's fine.
It's March 2nd.
No, I will say that the farmer deadline was definitely a nice one to get by.
Yep.
And all my staff have worked extremely hard, and multiple long nights. I think we were able to get majority of the farmers that needed to get done. We were 3 weeks behind because of life. Well, because the IRS, but. but we were, I don't know. I mean, I think the rest of the tax season is going to feel like, I hope the rest of the tax season for the staff will feel almost like nothing, because they're not going to have to put in the hours like they have been. Yeah. At least I hope they won't.
Yeah.
They're not watching this, so.
But they might listen later.
But no, they've done a good job. Other than that, you know, yeah. Just, you know, juggling life just like anybody else.
Yeah.
We have, you know, we had a death in the family. Well, Lori's family. So she's going to be having going to, what do you call it? I got too much notes.
Funeral.
Have to go to a funeral. That thing. And, so she's be gone for a couple of days, and then I get the kids and the office, and be fine. Mm-hmm. I don't have a lot to say today.
There you go.
You guys have a lot to say.
I was going
to
say,
maybe we need some questions or comments.
I feel like we might all kind of, other than Stacy.
I don't know that I've all said, but.
All right, Stacy.
Here we go.
Yeah,
Stacy and Casey in the morning.
Stacy and Casey in the morning. That's right. Here we go. We'll just do this, and then we'll just focus on you, and then we'll go.
I don't know what to say.
I feel a sneeze coming on, and I don't know what to do about it.
Well, you know, the funny thing is that your Hoyer talked about.
Camera too. Oh, I'm just like, put your pillow up.
Do I hold it in? Do I let it go? I'm like, I don't have a mask on. I got a sneeze coming, but now that I'm talking about it, maybe it will dissipate. So
dissipation.
Everyone, keep your eyes focused on Lacey.
And now so my that eyes are watering.
Well, here, how about I be just solo her right up? Okay. Now go ahead and sneeze.
I don't think I can. I can't sneeze on command.
One, I bet two, my three, children go. Could.
I think Hudson can burp on command. Can't believe I just threw that out there. Yeah, so know. There we go.
He's a boy.
Kind of right,
let's today. Transition.
So let's just a smooth transition into right. from Hudson can burp on command to yeah. Pastor Hoyer.
Pastor Hoyer talked about our enemies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, hey, Casey, you wrote a good summary. Why don't you tell mm-hmm. us? What do you think?
Well, before I get into the deep part of it, my wife and I watched... Yeah, my wife and I watched from home just with how much water I have to drink and all that fun stuff. But one of the first lines he said when he got into that was, we have a lot of enemies. Sometimes our enemies are inside us, like right now. And I turned to my wife, I go, I can relate to that right now. So it's something I couldn't have done in church right there. But I think he gave a really good image along with the picture on the screen of actually what the area outside of Jerusalem looked like at the Mount of Olives. What separated, you know, the main city and the Mount of Olives was this Kidron Valley. And he contrasted it with two stories from very different time periods in the Bible. One about a key battle during King Jehoshaphat's time. And then another with Jesus the night he's betrayed. And it's really interesting, both times God tells his followers to trust him in very different ways, and both of those times it doesn't make sense what God is asking them to do. And I find that so often what God asks us to do is counter to every bit of logic what either culture or popular trends or even those around us would have us do. But and it's tempting to follow that. And it's when things are going well, it's very easy to follow what God says because everything's going right. There's next to no risk in following God because there's nothing really on the line. But what I found was interesting in these two stories is everything was on the line in that moment. And it's in those moments that God asks us to put every bit of faith in him and essentially call back to, I've protected you before. I'm going to do it again. trust that I'm going to do what I promised I will do. And of course, that is a beautiful sentiment. And much like Pastor Gerber said earlier, very easy to say, very hard to actually practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the beauty of the Christian faith, is it's been like Jesus has proven that he will keep his promises. God has proven that he will keep his promises. And, you know, I sat with a family last week and they just asked the question, well, how can you know that Christianity is the right one? And to me, it's an easy answer in that. Now, again, you can flesh it out and you can go down a lot of different trails to make it more complicated, but it's just Jesus is alive. I mean, very simply, Jesus conquered the one enemy that no other religious leader has conquered. He conquered death. He is alive. He kept that promise. He told us, and you know, his disciples didn't quite understand what he was saying, but he said, this is what's going to happen. The temple, and Jesus was referring to himself there, the temple will be destroyed and it will be rebuilt in 3 days. And he got the timeline right. He got but I think the big thing is, oh, he rose from the dead, and is still alive. That's, you know, when we go, yes, it is just easy to say. It's harder to live, but it's so important that we have someone that we can look back and say, oh, he kept his promises. And so when we are in those places where he asks us to trust in a way that makes no sense, we know that in other ways, we see those other ways where he's asked others to trust and it makes no sense. And then, oh, look, it all worked out. That's something we've talked about, a while in the Test Me Challenge, with, trust God with my tithe. And we've been able to show these different videos of families that have taken the Test Me Challenge and shown how like God has blessed them in ways just beyond what they can even imagine. We had one who last week said, in my business, I have goals and I'm very relational in my business. So COVID's been really hard. And there's a goal that I've tried to meet every year, but I've always, for the last 17 years, I've met this goal and I was nowhere near there. And I decided to trust God in this. And not only did our business meet that goal, but we met another goal that we've never in our lifetime, I've never as a business person met. It was incredible. But then this last week, I was talking to somebody who said, we filled out the card, but we've tithed our entire lives. So it wasn't anything different for us. We just filled out the card. And we went on with how we were going to do things. And they said, we have some investments. But we met with our investor. I don't remember if it was the last week or the last month or whatever. And he said, our tithe was this much. And when we met with our investor, we saw that in the last year, our investments have grown exactly 10 times what our tithe was for this year. It just was like, again, it's one of those things where God shows up in obvious ways, and sometimes more obvious than others. But a lot of times those are the times we need it. Because he said, we just never thought about the tithe. Like it's just because it's what we do. It's part of our habit. It's part of who we are as a family. But even in the midst of that, God showed up very clearly and very obviously. It was just a really cool story for me to hear. Again, in that way that God shows up in the midst of these times in our lives.
Well, and I think I think one of the reasons God includes stories in the Bible, because God is God, we are not. God doesn't need to provide anything other than, I'm God, I tell you so, you need to do it. That's all God really needs to provide as for who he is in relationship to us. But I think he puts all those stories in the Bible to show who he is. And also to show that because as sinners, we're not going to trust 100% like we're called to. And I think that's a key component in the New Testament lesson that we had at the Mount of Olives this past week. Like Jesus tells his disciples what is about to happen, like in hours or less, he says, you will all fall away, because Jesus knows what's about to happen. The disciples don't. So it's not really, it hasn't gotten difficult for them quite yet. And so they're still in kind of a good place mentally. They might be just a little confused. And so Peter, when hearing this, he goes, oh no, not me. Nope, I'll follow you. Yep. And Peter is one of my favorite disciples to look at, because it's easy to make him a punching bag, because he's quoted a lot, and half the time it comes back to bite him. But I think Peter, in very many ways, is us in this situation of that we rely on ourselves, mm-hmm. and in those moments, in those times, when we fail, God still picks us up. Of course, that wasn't in this side of the story. We haven't even got to the part where in the Passion account where Peter really screws up. But even in spite of this, Jesus later personally comes to forgive Peter. And you know, the tithe challenge, yeah, you know, it's, I can tell you, COVID definitely, through different situations, definitely made my wife's eyes budget a little tighter this year. And it's easy to say when you have what I'll call a guaranteed income of like, oh yeah, 10%. You know, we know what's coming in each month. Through what I do, it's 100% commissions at the moment. So there's no guaranteed income month to month. And so you can look, so for someone in my position with the tithe challenge, it was very easy to look at that and go, how do I know what next month is going to look like, God? I'm barely trying to figure out what this month looks like. But even in those moments, God didn't say, trust me when it looks easy. Trust me when I show you what it's going to look like. It's just, trust me, do what I say. I've got this. Trust that I've got this. And even in those moments, like in the story when Peter did not, Jesus still came through in spite of Peter's what we'll call lack of trust.
Yeah.
The Old Testament story this week was one of my favorites of when God tells him, you don't need to fight. All you need to do is be still and I'll fight the battle for you. And I know that sometimes God does call us to fight, to be active in it. But there are many other times in scripture where he says, just be still. I'm with you and I'm taking care of this. And when I run my mouth and try and solve things my own way, it doesn't always go very well. No. So if I can sit and worship, and that's what they did, right? Like they had the choir singing, and as they were singing, God was defeating the enemy. Yeah. And when our minds are focused and our thoughts are focused on, okay, God is with me and he's doing this and I'm going to trust him and tell him that I trust him and praise him and worship him, he's already working in our favor, because when we're focused on him, our goal is his goal and he's accomplishing his goal already. And I just love that example of like, be still. You don't need to fight this battle. I'm fighting it while you're still. Yeah. And I need that reminder. Just chill, Stacey.
Me too.
Just chill. Me three.
Yeah. Yeah, there's God grows us in these times, and you know, in those times where you are struggling, you know, there's, you know, the phrase there's no growth without pain, there's no pain without growth, or I don't know if that
it's
no
something like that.
I don't know, but there's no growth without pain,
no pain, change. No gain,
yeah. I don't know. Y'all tell us what it's supposed to be.
Paul's looking it up.
My words, my brain is just fantastic today. Just whoop. But there is that, you know, when things are great, that's not when we grow the most. It's in those times of struggle, in those times of challenge, in those times of you know, really needing to rely on God, and then watching him show up. And often it's in a different way than you expect.
100%.
In Jehoshaphat, it was, just sit there, just worship, and I will confuse the army around you, and they will just take themselves out. I like the Jehoshaphat story. My favorite Old Testament story along these lines is Gideon, where he brings, like, Gideon brings like 30,000 men to this battle, and God's like, no, if you do that, it'll look like you won the battle. Send the guys home that want to go home. And so a bunch of them left, and he's like, yeah, you could still win it on your own. Do it, you know, see how they drink water. And so it gets down to 300 people. There's no way 300 people would win that battle. And so again, the way they do it is they get torches and they cover them with a fire pot. And at night they surround the camp, and then they break the pots and they yell really loud, and it confuses the people inside there and inside the camp, and they all defeat themselves. And it's just like the Israelites didn't have to raise a sword. All they did was yell and hold up a torch. And God's like, okay, see, I gotcha. Trust me. I'll take care care of you. And so there are these times where, I mean, you see some of these stalwarts in the faith, these pillars of faith. Life was not easy for them. You talk to them, and you know, especially those in the 70s, 80s, 90 range in your congregation, you talk to them and you ask them about, I mean, a lot of them, again, we kind of go back to the tithe challenge. Like sometimes our parents didn't eat. I mean, I remember my grandpa, he was a farmer. He'd go around, he would get his sustenance by, you know, when he was with someone else, maybe getting a cup of coffee or something like that. But there were days where he just wouldn't eat because they didn't have enough money. And then they'd go to the buffet on Sunday and the people would be very scared when they saw him walking in because he would eat his week's worth of food at that buffet. But there was never a question of should I tithe? It's just what they did, and God always got them through. Did my grandpa ever win the lottery because he tithed? No. Did they live in a mansion? No. But God always took care of them, and he passed that down to my parents, or to my dad, and my dad has passed that down to me, and just that reliance on God. But really, it is that when times are tough, I mean, that's when faith is strengthened, if you allow it to be. You know, if you run, if you take control, then you thwart that opportunity.
Well, and you talked a little earlier about this with some of the wrestlings you're having, Pastor, and I can relate. I don't, like, control isn't something I need until I've learned in my life I'm having issues. Then I like to control the issues because I want to make sure I can control the outcome, which usually when that happens, it doesn't go well. Like, my track record of controlling outcomes for problems is not always what we'll call great, but I still like the idea of control. And even right now, dealing with the health issues I've got, it's, you know, they're like, yeah, a kidney stone could pass in a day, or it could be 3 weeks. I'm like,
one day,
can you give me a timeline? Like, seriously.
What can I do to push it out? Let's go.
You know, just drink tons of water. That's all I've been doing. Yeah. Like more than you're supposed to, like, well, not healthily drink, but it's like a time and a half what you're usually supposed to drink. I didn't think you could figure out what water tastes like and get tired of it. I can assure you, I have.
Never. I'm sure.
I very much have, I should say.
Are you drinking it through a straw?
I am not. Because then I can't drink as much. Oh. I prefer to get it out of the way.
Some say it's the other way. If you drink through a straw, you drink more.
I like straws.
Stacy.
I had a straw. I drink a lot.
Or there are two children in the school that I work at who have these, I'm thinking they're 1 gallon water bottles. They are huge. You should get one of those.
Noted.
And then do like
with a straw.
And then they carry
9 o'clock.
These two students carry it with them because they are in the 5th through 8th grade hallway and they switch rooms. But the first time I saw that, I was like, holy buckets. And then it's got markers down the side of it, like, doing good, keep going. And I just want to go, how many times have you gone to the bathroom today? Because sidebar. Sorry, Casey. Through a straw.
That has been my experience with the let's drink 8 billion gallons a day. I just had to pee all the time.
Yeah.
It's just fun.
Yeah. So they're like, hey, if you drink more water, you'll also get toxins. More steps because you just can't just sit for, for an hour.
You gotta get moving. And you can't control that trick. Either. Mm-hmm. You may have to go, you may not.
All right, I'm gonna go back to I'm gonna ask a cynical question because
that's what you do.
Cynical. Mm-hmm. You sit there and go, okay, during hard times, I'm just going to put my faith in God and be good. And you know, how do you do that? I mean, in a real life situation. I mean, let's talk about people who maybe don't have faith that we're talking to and say, hey, God's got this, and they're like, what are you talking about?
Right.
Sure. Okay. Mm-hmm. What does that look like? What do you think? Go ahead, Casey. I'm sorry.
I was going to say for those times in my life, I mean, kidney stones is not a major faith exercise for me right now. It's just flat out annoying. I'm not talking about this. In those moments where my faith has been tested, I come back to two things that really anchor that is reading these stories in the Bible and connecting with brothers and sisters in the faith. Because at least how I like to handle problems, I feel feel like if I share what I'm going through with others, I'm burdening them. Yeah. Even though those closest with me would say they're there to help, my mind keeps lying to me and saying, you're a problem to them. They don't want to hear it. They're just being nice to you. But particularly my Christian brothers and sisters in the Bible, these stories continue to come up, whether it's, you know, Jehoshaphat, Gideon, the Battle of Jericho, you know, Peter in the garden, or some of the stories, you know, like Pastor Gerber's grandpa. I've never heard that story, but that is incredibly encouraging. The videos we've been seeing about the Test Me Challenge, all these things. If there are two things as a Christian that hold me, it's looking at what God has done in the past. Because when I put myself on an island and trying to suffer all by myself, I quickly start to rely on myself and it doesn't work out at all. And I need those reminders of what God has done, because it's exactly what he promised he's going to do. And I think it's one of the reasons he gives us this community, is to hold each other in those hard moments, to prove not only that we're here for each other, but that he is too. So if those are the two things I would recommend to anybody, those are the biggest things. Keep connected in the word and keep connected with those in the faith who absolutely love you, even when your mind is lying to you.
But then, Casey, kind of going with Paul, maybe that's what, but you know, Jesus, you know what he has done for you. You know what he will continue to do for you and your family. But what if you're that person? Granted, they're probably not watching this podcast or listening to this podcast, but what would you tell somebody that knows nothing? You know, maybe they've never stepped foot in a church. Maybe they've never opened a Bible. Maybe they've never been baptized. Maybe they've never been married, and they've never had any form of holy sacrament or anything. Mm-hmm. So then how would you, I guess I have a hard time thinking if I even know anybody, you know, that's not ever experienced God's word. But if you have somebody who's never experienced God's word, and if you've not had that conversation, what would you do?
It sounds like you're asking the question to me.
To kind of play off of what Paul said, you know, he's like, let me be a cynic. And then I'm kind of thinking, you know, I'm like, okay, so say, you know, I'm just strolling the aisles of Target and I pass somebody and I'm like, huh, looks like they're having a hard time with something. Mm-hmm. You know, I wonder, you know, how they deal with things. Or if you're watching a YouTube video and somebody says, you know, I thank Jesus every day, but then you may be watching one where they've not ever said anything. So it's hard to know if somebody has that ultimate belief and others don't, I guess.
I think the big thing that I was thinking of, and I was being cynical with the question, but I think the answer is that they need to be able to see that in you. Mm-hmm. So if they don't believe that, they're going through hard times and they're just like, everything's falling around me. Why is Lacey have it together? Even though we know you don't.
Right.
Well, cause I mean, no, I don't think anybody has.
No.
Jesus does.
And that's why I listened to Lord, I Need You at a very loud volume on my way out here today.
Like I know my you know, you sit there talking about control, but I don't know if this is under the guise of control. But then what I try to do is whenever there is major stuff going on, I generally look at other things that I can do for other people. Mm-hmm. How can I occupy my time helping these individuals so I don't have to like worry about that?
Yes,
I'm not sure if that's you know, what's the psychology term of
turning a blind eye.
Well, compartmentalize. I find that if I focus on other people's issues, their issues seem so much bigger than mine most of the time. And I find that these little things, I mean, I'm kind of blessed. I feel like I'm blessed. So I don't feel like I have a lot of, I mean, even when like Lori had a death in the family, even then it's like, I know Lori's going through a hard time. What can I do to help her?
I would agree.
And so she's going to go. It wasn't a question. I was just like, okay, well then I will take care of the kids and I will do this stuff. And I never really worried about it. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like,
And I'm looking at Stacey because she looks like she has something very insightful.
I don't know.
Well, one thing.
Call your mom.
One thing, and then I'll pass it off. Then I'll pass it off to Stacey to wrap it up. one thing that I do want to say is, you know, you asked about the question about, you know, how is that going to work out for those who don't know Jesus? I mean, to be blunt, God doesn't promise that everything's going to work out for those who don't know him. The all things work together for good. That's not the end of the sentence. That's not the end of the verse. It's for those who love Jesus. I mean, that's, you know, if you look at Jehoshaphat, if you look at Gideon, it worked really well for the Jesus followers, I know that Jesus wasn't there yet, but it worked out for God's people. If you were on the other side of that battle, that didn't work out very well for you. And again, to put it bluntly, those who don't know Jesus are enemies of God. And so it's the Spirit that as he works faith that turns us, that turns us, you know, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But turns us from enemies into his children. You know, in confirmation, we talked a lot about baptism, and that's the module that we're in right now. Baptism is a spiritual battle. I mean, we talk about it's this nice and light and fluffy thing, and you get a little bit of water on your head and everything's good, but it really is a spiritual battle that Jesus always wins. And so, you know, that's why, like, I love that we have a video of our oldest daughter, Alex, her baptism. It was at Concordia Seminary. There's this big, this big baptismal font. I mean, you could do immersion for a child if you wanted, but you know, you probably shouldn't. But the pastor, the professor that baptized her, he talked a lot about this is a battle. This isn't just some nice thing. And so the way that he baptizes children is he takes handfuls of water, holds them up 2 feet above the child's head, and just dumps them on their face. And the first time is a shock to the kid. The second time it ticks the kid off, specifically Alex. And the third time, Alex is getting ready to scream and dumps it right in her face. And little 2-year old Landon goes, oh, can we do that again? But it was this spiritual battle. It was a reminder that it's not just this, oh, you're baptized now. No, you were an enemy of God. And in this moment, Jesus made you his child. He marked you as his own. He brought you out of death and into life. People who don't know Jesus need to hear that. They need to see the benefits of who Jesus is and know who they are, that God created them, that he created them in his image to be like him, and he wants a relationship with them. But if they don't have a relationship with them, we can't say that things are going to work out. Now, earthly, they might. You know, there are a lot of people who don't know Jesus who have a lot of money. There are a lot of people who don't know Jesus who we look at and go, man, I kind of wish I had that car or that or whatever it is. But God promises that all things will work together for the good of those who love him. And that might not be realized until Jesus returns. It might look like junk here on this earth, but that's the joy of the hope that we have in Jesus. We can't say that, oh, you know, everything's going to be good.
Everything has a purpose.
Yeah. And maybe that the junk that person's going through that doesn't know Jesus, maybe that does turn them to, oh, hey, Lacey, you seem to have everything together. Why? And you say, I don't, but Jesus is taking care of me. Well, what do you mean by that? And then that junk that person's going through might lead to that conversation where then they can hear about Jesus. They can see the promises that he has showered on you and then realize those promises for themselves.
Yeah. Help start the relationship process.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then invite him to the church.
Yeah. Yeah. But that doesn't then mean that, oh good, you got Jesus. Cause this is what I grew up with is, oh good, you got Jesus. Now everything's good. And yeah, that didn't even work out for Jesus. Just, you know, like Jesus was murdered. He was, you know, that night, spoiler alert for next week, in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, he was betrayed by somebody that he calls friend. He was betrayed. He was arrested. He was assaulted. And then he was abandoned by his closest followers and then later beaten and murdered. So it's not like, oh, if I follow Jesus, everything's going to be sunshine and unicorns and rainbows and puppies and bunnies.
I was going to say cupcakes, but.
Oh, I like cupcakes.
I usually say fruit punch and cracker jacks.
That's not what
I feel like those would be awful together.
Oh, I would never eat them, but that's what I thought when I was on a community involved thing. I'm like, I thought this was going to be like fruit punch and cracker jacks, and no.
No.
Okay. Maybe that's why it started out not fantastic.
Maybe.
Because you don't put those, I don't eat either of those, but.
But again, Maybe that's that opportunity that leads to that conversation, that leads to that invitation. Yeah.
And I would go back to the question kind of both Paul and Lacey posed. I can't answer from the perspective of someone who's outside of the faith because I've been blessed by God to have been a Christian my whole life. But what I've seen in these situations is what I like to call being Jesus with skin on to someone who's suffering, to be that relational point. Because, I mean, again, I might be projecting a little bit here, but a person who doesn't have that connection to the Bible is not going to pick up a Bible in that right. moment of suffering. But what, I mean, if you have a close friend who doesn't know Jesus or is questioning their relationship with Jesus, you know, it's at times very tempting to go, well, what you're going through is because you don't love Jesus,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Come on, get the hint, bro. Like, but it's like, it's like, no, that's what sin does to everybody.
Yeah.
And be Jesus with skin on in that moment to that person. Be that relational connection. Absolutely no one on this planet has it all together. But if there's one piece that Christians have that no other person on this earth has, it's the fact that the person we believe in, the God we trust in, has overcome the challenges of this world. He took them head on and beat them. So that's where we put our faith, and to be that living example in those moments, and not necessarily perfect, but being there with them, I think that speaks volumes.
Yeah. So through this sermon, we're talking about our enemies, right? And Pastor Hoyer said, "How many enemies do you have?" And I've never considered myself to have enemies. Like, that's such a harsh word. No, everybody's my friend. My
Except
enemy
for you.
Is the devil. But then, as I'm thinking about it, there are times where I kind of make people the enemy, people that disagree with me or making life more difficult. Like, I tend to view them as, oh, you're my enemy in this point. You're working against me and what my thoughts are for this. And I just totally lost my train of thought. So yeah,
there's
so
the enemy.
What I was thinking, yes, they're kind of, I'm making them the enemy when they're not. And it made me think of when Jesus was talking to Peter and he said, get behind me, Satan. Not like, I'm not rebuking you, Peter, is my enemy, but Satan in you is making you say this and think this, and that is not my way. So as Pastor Hoyer was preaching, I'm just thinking, so in those moments where I'm thinking, oh, you're the enemy, you're making my life so difficult, and why is this happening, and how can I step back from that and refocus like Jesus did? Like, this is not this person coming out to get me necessarily. We're differing in our views. We're differing in how we think we should move forward in this. How can I, because I know Jesus, because I am different because of that faith, how do I respond differently now? So for me, a lot of times it is that stepping back, that taking a breath, reading God's word and refocusing on right now. I'm feeling at odds with this. I'm feeling that tension. That tension doesn't have to be bad and destroy this relationship, but somehow we need to reorient our focus. I don't know if this was helpful at all, but to come back to God's word and to recognize that people are not our enemies, right? Our enemy is the devil. And when we can remember that, okay, we're people, we have different views, we're made differently. God put that in us. When we stop making each other enemies, I think that this relationship part works a lot better.
And that was actually the point that I was trying to get to eventually.
Good job, Stacey.
No, I was just thinking of how individuals are, we seem to be looking at each other as enemies. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if individual people are, or if
the big, you are this group.
I hate to call it the media, but come on.
Too true.
It is becoming ridiculous. And I think a lot of people are realizing that. Yeah. But because of your political views, because it really comes down to that. I mean, this is what we're feeling right now. The political correctness and the political views that everybody's, and I know that Dan touched on this, but that really what it comes down to, we can look at each other and go, you're my enemy, therefore I must destroy you. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Not just, and you talk political, but also, you know, in the church, it can be very easy to say, oh, you're outside the church, you're my enemy. And yeah. No, they're the one that we need to be loving even more.
Well, even inside the church.
Oh yeah.
What do you mean you don't want to put the purple stuff up versus the red stuff? What? I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying there's a lot of stuff that you can look at and go, you're opposing me because I have this view on it. Therefore, you're my enemy.
Yeah.
and I'm going to fight you with every bated breath. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of times that, especially if you're running a company, there's a lot of times that people come to you and you just want to go, everything you just said is wrong and I'm going to yell at you. But then most of the time I go, this is not a hill I'm going to die on today.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to go, okay, and just kind of, you know, and so I guess it's just, there's just so much of that. It seems like, is it me or is it out of control?
Yes.
I think I mean, yes,
we're all
and
young
no.
here. I guess I want to ask, do you know anybody who's like went through this in the 60s and 70s when they were going through all this? I mean, I'm assuming that this has been around forever, right?
Well, and I'd say yes and no to that, because I believe, not to make the media a punching bag, but
yes, do it.
But conflict sells, and that's and if you can make an enemy, I mean, you know, it's one of the reasons superhero movies are doing so good right now in the theaters. Enemies are fun to gang up on. Yeah. Like I mean, and you know what made some of the Avengers movies the most fun is you had all these people teaming up against a huge bad guy. It felt great. And so I think it, you know, it's easy to buy in and make people or groups of people enemies when really, you know, I can tell you, you know, I've got my own political views. I'm definitely not going to share them on here. But you know, for people who think differently than me, it's very easy to go, wow, you hate this country, how could you? Instead looking back and go, you know, life is hard for every person on this planet. They might not be coming to the same conclusion that I am, but their experiences have led them to this. Their experiences are no less real than mine. And instead of making maybe ideas or concepts, you know, something to be talked about, we make people those things. And I think that's one of the most dangerous things. And it's in those moments when we need someone to walk beside us in our struggles, it's what pulls us apart. And what I love what you said there, Stacey, is, you know, people aren't our enemies. It's really sometimes the ideas behind those people, but you can't yell at an idea. And sometimes we like to yell, maybe a little too much.
We can yell at an idea. Yes. Right. Well, isn't that the whole point, though, to be able to... I don't know. I know Pastor Dan brought it in.
Yeah.
And we all went,
where's it going? But even he said, even he said in that it can be so easy to focus on that, to focus on those people and call them my enemy and want to lash out them and tell them how stupid they are or whatever it is. And he did use stupid. So I can.
Our kids always go,
ooh. Yeah,
ooh. Stupid.
Was not a good word.
But right, even
let's fall out.
But we can, you know, he said we can get so caught up in that we lose Jesus, that we forget that Jesus is in control, that Jesus knew that all of this was going to happen, and Jesus is working in this in ways that we could never imagine. Right? We complain about Koof a lot. But there are lots of, and there are lots of bad things that have come from that, right? Yes. There's lots of mental health issues, and yes, but there are good things that are coming out of it too. You know, churches are asking different questions. And really the question for a lot of them have become, how do we equip our people to take Jesus into their communities? If we're at this point where we can't really bring a lot of people into church, where it's awkward or it's not as welcoming because, you know, you can't shake hands, which some people are like, yay, no fellowship time. But some people, like, that's what's welcoming is, you know, the fellowship, the donuts, the coffee, and there are lots of those things that we can't do. How do we equip people to take Jesus to them, to the community, to serve the community, to love the community? That's a very different question than I think we've asked in the past. So there are, even, you know, you can look back and say, oh, I see what Jesus was doing here.
And I guess the next logical step to this question is, what happens when the other person that you perceive as your enemy, or they perceive you as an enemy, does not want that extended hand? What can we do?
Jesus says, shake the dust off your sandals and go to the next town. I mean, honestly, like when he sends the disciples out two by two into towns to bring the good news, he says, if they don't accept you, shake the dust off your sandals and move on. Now I think I know there's still opportunities to pray. I mean, that's the first step. I mean, there are times where you might plant a seed and it might be 40 years down the road where someone else waters it. But it's not, it's God who does the growing. And so, but
you mean I don't have control of that?
No, sorry.
I'm going back to that word again.
I know. Guess what we're talking about this coming weekend, y'all?
Are we talking about control?
We are. Yeah.
All right. That gives me a lot of good song. I was going to ask there you a song.
Jesus only, not Jesus plus yourself.
Lacey, you've listened. Yay. But it's so hard. It's easy to say, right? We're coming full circle. It's easy to say the words. It's hard to do them. It's hard to live them.
Sometimes it's just really hard to let that control go.
And I think going back to Paul was saying, what does that look like? Does it look like, and we'll talk about this maybe a little bit next week, because we're opening up a new can here.
Cans are good.
I like that. what does it look like to release control? Does it just mean, all right, God, you got this. I'm done. You take the wheel. I'm just going to take a nap. And obviously that's a very broad question for specific, you know, you've got specific things in your head that you're thinking of. How can I give up control in this situation? That's going to look different than how Stacy can give up control in a different situation. Yeah. But it doesn't just mean, oh, I'm giving up control. It doesn't just mean, all right, I'm out. Jesus, you take this. I'm going to go home and take a nap and, you know, play Mario Kart.
Ukulele.
That's my solution.
Sometimes honestly, sometimes we need that just reset. Like, again, I told you I was up at 1 this morning because I couldn't sleep. Now, part of me really wanted to go out and play Mario Kart for a little while.
See, that's what I do to distract my mind. Mario Kart's gold for me.
But instead, I thought, you know what? I pulled out the book that I'm reading with another pastor as we're working through some things called The Emotionally Healthy Leader. And I read 2 pages and I was just like, I'm in a good place. And honestly, the 2 pages were a survey on how are you doing? And I went, 1 is bad and 5 is good. And I went 1, 1, 1, 1. Oh, that feels good to get that out. And I've crashed. Like, I just fell asleep. And it just was like, it was good. But it was, for me, normally I would just say, all right, let me turn on a show. Let me play a game. And the conscious decision for me to say, let me just read. It wasn't the Bible. There were Bible verses in there, but it wasn't the Bible. Let me read something that will help me grow. And one of the questions was like, how do you, in leadership, how do you turn to others and ask them about how your weaknesses affect them? I'm like, oh, all right, that's what I'm going to do today. And I've already made some of those plans to have some conversations with some people. And I just went, all right, God, you do have this. And also there was a lot of time spent in prayer where I just needed to say, all right, God, this is yours. This is yours. Take it and go.
Our Christian radio station's been doing, their theme this year is spiritual survival skills. I don't know if y'all listen to My Bridge Radio.
My Bridge Radio.
This one that they're talking about now is...
Not a sponsor.
Not a sponsor.
We are sponsors.
I've been thinking about it because last month was reading God's word, be in his word daily. And now it's... I don't know what they call the skill, but it's muting. It's a 3-step process. Mute the outside voices. So if it's... And I'm thinking about this with the media and the enemy, like, take a break, just turn off your phone. If that's what's, turn off the news. Sorry.
Someone else.
At least it's not me.
So shut that off. Shut off the outside voices. If it's somebody, a conversation, maybe step away from that. Meditate on God's word and move your body. So I've just been thinking about this. Like, do I do that? I mute pretty well. I'm not really into politics and conflict, so I just tend to avoid that altogether. which that maybe needs to be addressed too, because
avoidance. I'm good at avoiding things.
Like, I'd rather just not.
Yeah. I mean, that's not necessarily healthy either. But so that part of it, I feel like I do okay. But it's the meditating, and that's like, what do I choose when I'm having the bad day? What do I choose to go to? Do I go to the chocolate and the Netflix show? Do I buy things online? Or am I in God's word? Am I in prayer? Am I checking on a friend that I haven't talked with in a while? Am I focusing on something else? And then the move your body. At first I'm like, yeah, going for a walk really helps. Just to fresh air, sunshine, that helps. But also, as Paul's talking, like, that could be serving others. But just like reorienting my thoughts when I'm waking up in the middle of the night and can't sleep. What am I doing with that time? Clearly, Lord, something's going on.
Yep.
Let's work through this together rather than me just avoiding it even more, as I like to do. So I think that's a good skill. because there are so many good ways that we could spend that time too. I mean, Mario Kart is not bad.
No, it's not.
How can I, like Mario Kart. I also build up my spiritual life and relationship with the Lord at the same time? I really like Mario Kart. I'm not saying it's bad. But in those times when we know we need it, are we seeking the Lord in that?
Or are we, almost avoiding him? Yeah.
Right. So there you go. My Bridge Radio. Thank you for that Bridge segment. Radio.
All right.
All right.
Well, if you guys have any suggestions for us, please comment.
So, again,
what's your favorite Mario Kart game?
Which character are you?
Can I say Dry Bones.
Mario Kart.
You can, but then you'll be shunned.
No.
Shunned.
You're now our enemy.
Shun.
I never played it either. So.
Actually, based on the video, shun.
Mm-hmm. You better get right or you're going to get left.
There you go.
Never played Mario Kart to my knowledge.
But, and that was not a political statement.
There
that
you go.
That was just a play on words.
There you go.
You know, that's not accurate. Sorry.
I'm not making enemies right now.
But that's,
unless you play me a Mario Kart for that 3 minutes, you are.
There you go.
You're going down.
Yeah. One of the benefits that we have found in, you know, we talk about God working good things in the midst of trials. For COVID, this has been good for us. You know, we kind of joked a little bit at the beginning that, that was counseling session number one. Counseling session. That's what this is. That's what Christian community is. It's counseling sessions. It's, I need to dump. You know, that's what, you know, Stacy made that comment earlier. There are a lot of times that God works in our lives together. That when one of us needs to dump, the other one's emotionally in a place where they can take that and they can and they can help the other. You know, Stacy can help me. There were last week or 2 weeks ago, I've been on this kind of roller coaster where I'm in a great mood in the morning and then I'm not, or I'm in a poopy mood in the morning and then I'm in a great mood by the end of the day or whatever. But there was one time I just was sitting in this funk and finally Stacy, like I think it was the next morning, she's like, remember, this is not your thing to control. God's got this. God's in control. You don't need to put this on your shoulders. Take it off. Give it to him. And it was those 2-3 sentences where I was like, oh, okay, thanks. I'm good. Like honestly, that completely changed my entire day. Was like, I just needed that reminder. Yes, I knew it. Yes, I could speak it, but I needed someone who loved and cared about me to speak that truth into my life and remind me of who Jesus, the promises of Jesus. And that's what this Christian community has been for me. And so if you're out there and you're like, man, I just need somebody to talk to, go talk to somebody. Maybe it's someone, you know, maybe it's someone professionally. Maybe you need to get an appointment to talk to somebody, but maybe it's just a group of friends who love Jesus that can help speak God's truths and God's promises into your life and remind them of who you are, right? That you are a child of God. He has made you his child through his means of grace, through his word, through the waters of baptism, and he loves you, and he is caring for you. He's not just up in the sky hanging out. He is working in your life today, and maybe that's why he had you tune into this podcast today, was to hear one thing in this. I don't know if it was this. I don't know if it was something else. But don't let that pass you by. Don't just hear the words and move on. Reflect on them and put them into practice. Stacy, you want to close
You're
us in prayer?
Me the prayer wink.
I'm giving you the prayer, prayer wink.
Yes. Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to get together this morning to talk about you and the struggles of implementing our faith and walking our faith out in everyday life, Lord. It's not just a black and white process, Lord. It's messy sometimes. And we thank you that we have people that we can talk about that with. And we pray that for our audience that you would, if they don't have those clear people, Lord, that you would bring those people into their lives that they can share life with, to talk honestly about, here's what I'm going through and how do I walk with Jesus in this. Lord, we thank you that your word stands true forever, that it is our one solid foundation that we can turn to anytime we need help with anything, Lord, that your word speaks the truth to our lives and builds a solid foundation on you. May we turn to you and into your word when we are struggling, Lord. May that become a daily habit, something we don't even question anymore, Lord, that we just naturally turn to you when we struggle. And Lord, we know that when we do that, you bless us, you bless our relationship with you, and you open our eyes to what you are already doing, Lord. And we thank you for your hand at work everywhere we go. Amen.
Thanks
Amen.
For joining us today. And I just want to remind everybody that if you're finding benefit out of this, we do have a YouTube channel that we basically record this live to that. You can watch it on there, but also that is mainly for our archiving. So if you want to share, it makes it easier to share it. Also, don't forget, we do have our audio podcast that if you guys want to share that, that is also available for everyone. And if you find this beneficial, please do that. And if you find that somebody else might find it beneficial, I'm going to say beneficial a lot, please do that. Other than that, anything else, guys? If you have any comments about how you have to, for next week, we're going to be talking about giving up control and what that looks like, apparently. So, yep. If you guys have comments or anything that you about how you actually have a hard time giving up control or what that looks like in your life, send us an email. We have I got banners. Hold on,
look at, here they come. There it is.
Trinity Podcast Gmail. Give us a little ringy dingy over there, and then or you can comment on any of these platforms, and or you can just send smoke signals. That works too. Okay.
Except you got all the all the shades.
We can't quite see the smoke signals. I guess I could. So if it's
put a little deck out
that way,
south carrier pigeon. That's
south something. There you go.
All right, you guys have a good day, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Thanks for joining us this week. We pray that the Holy Spirit has used this time to focus you in on the one thing that you can practice this week as you live out your faith in your family and in your community. If you found this helpful, feel free to share it with a friend. If you would like to support the work that God is doing through Trinity Fremont, you can text a donation to 1-844-353-5782. Or you can give online at www.trinityfremont.com/donate.